Welcome to Kyperion Commentary. I'm your host, Yuri Brito, and this is our 51st episode. On this episode, I am speaking with a state representative from Montana, Greg DeVries. Greg, thanks for joining us at Kyperion Commentary.
Thank you.
Real delight to have you, Greg. I've become aware just recently, first of all, who you are and of your work in Montana as a state rep. Tell me a little bit, tell our listeners how you became interested in politics and who made the final push for you to get involved.
I'm still not interested in politics.
Thanks for your honesty.
Rather than pounding away on the keyboard over Facebook, one day before church, someone in church said, "You know what? You should put your name in for your district." And it only cost $15 to do that. So I did. And now I find myself here.
I think that's how all great stories begin. I like the simplicity of your engagement in this cause here. You have been very committed to the pro-life cause over the years. Tell us a little bit about your history in the pro-life movement in Montana and some of the influences perhaps behind your desire to see children no longer facing the threat of being murdered inside their mother's wombs.
Of course, I've always been aware of it, but I think what crystallized it for me was when those CMP videos came out.
I remember those quite well.
Those ones that were deceitfully edited, those came out, and I think that threw a trigger for a lot of people. And then that was at the forefront of the minds of everybody in our church, and it was always a topic. And then one thing led to another, and it rolled around that people could file to run for office. Other Republican running was not quite as heavily pro-life, I guess, more of the middle of the roader. So I put my name in and let things fall where they may. That was a big turning point for me, was the CMP videos.
Yes, they were went viral in many ways. Now, tell us a little about Montana. I know Montana has been under a Democratic governorship for quite some time, right?
Yeah, we've been in exile since 2002, I think.
Okay.
The current Democrat governor this is his final two-year term. Then everybody's hoping we get that special Republican governor in, but we shall see. We have Senator Tester, who's a Democrat also on the federal level. It's kind of hard to figure out. There's a lot of conservative Christian people in the rural areas. I think similar to the United States in general, a lot of the big cities are starting to squeeze out the rural vote.
Which generally has always been more conservative in nature, right?
Yes.
So for the past several sessions, you said that they've been trying to get a referendum to people to change the Constitution of Montana. What's the attempt here? What are you trying to change?
In the Montana Constitution, there's Article 217, which guarantees due process to every person. And the hope with this bill is, in order to skirt around the governor, is to put it on the ballot for the people to decide, change the Constitution to declare everybody a person at conception. So then from conception forward, you would not be able to be put to death without a trial, which would effectively, not sneaky as we're accused, but effectively and blatantly outlaw abortion.
Over the years, you've probably seen, obviously, the expectation that the Democrats would vote against any bills defending life. Have you sensed this kind of opposition also from the conservatives in Montana?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Democrats, barring the work of the Holy Spirit, are going to vote against this also. In fact, they did in Judiciary Committee today. The committee voted on it, and the Republicans passed it, and all the Democrats voted against it. But even in when I first started carrying the bill around to get co-sponsors, there were different Republicans even that said, "Oh, you know, I'm not going to sponsor it, but I'll vote for it." And I mean, there was one right to life individual who some of the people I was asking to co-sponsor were telling me he was going around the Capitol lobbying against this bill.
Wow.
They've done it before because their complaint is whenever this bill comes up, Planned Parenthood raises so much money because of it. And we just don't have the votes to get it on the ballot. But my theory is if this bill really raises money for Planned Parenthood, then they must really be worried.
I see. And is your particular church very much involved in the pro-life cause?
I was just going to say, I am a product of my church. I think that's unavoidable. We've spent some time standing outside of Planned Parenthood, a focus of our conversation. We're not that's not our main focus, but everyone's of one mind that this needs to stop.
Since the Roe versus Wade has been in action in American law, so to speak, for a very long time, have you noticed in your own experience, have you noticed a kind of a disinterest in the cause, or have you seen a revival of the desire to see Roe v. Wade reversed, abolished, or have you seen Christians becoming more timid about the cause over the years because we have tried so hard through Supreme Court justices, through all sorts of legislations, and have not accomplished what we have desired? What have you seen over the years?
I think we're all cursed to live in our own bubble somewhat, but from my perspective, I think with a lot of young people getting on board in the anti-abortion movement, with the internet, with the way science is now, the 4D ultrasounds, I think it's only a matter of time before things swing far our direction and we make real headway against it.
Greg, that's very encouraging. For a few listeners who may be wondering, my goodness, I have such a desire to see Roe v. Wade abolished and done away with, but I have felt a timidity to get involved in the cause. Can you give our listeners any kind of small practical ways they can begin to engage themselves in this cause? Because I would assume that by and large, if the evangelical church would go to their local abortion clinics on one day a week, if the entire evangelical populace would do so, we would have a revolution overnight. So there's a obvious timidity from the Christian community. Any kind of applications, suggestions you would give to the person who is listening to this and say, I'm inspired by Greg DeVries, but I don't know where to begin. What would you say?
That's a good question. I think, we always talk about, we don't need to fear the judgment of God. This is the judgment of God. Mm. And I think a lot of Christians, God has shut our eyes and closed our ears. And I think the first thing everyone needs to do is just start praying and begging in church. Mm. And I think as Christians' eyes and ears are opened, then their feet will follow.
Very well said. Greg, I really hope people who are listening might even perhaps contemplate engaging as unexpectedly as you did. You said it only costs $15. I don't know what it is around the country, but that sounds like an invitation to political engagement. And I also appreciate your candor. I appreciate the fact that you are not particularly interested in politics, not in love with it, but you can only do so much from a keyboard, right?
That's right, yeah.
I'm very glad, first of all, that your pastor has been an inspiration to you as you have pursued the cause of life. And I'm also glad that you have taken the words of the gospel seriously and have decided to engage in the process itself and fighting for a cause that's noble. And so I want to thank you, Greg, for your time. And I really pray that God would prosper your labors and that you would be a part of the solution that we're looking for in Montana. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it.